I'm going to do a little questions without notice here.
Easy.
Tony Cochran says the AFL, highly unlikely to have the grand final. He wants South Australian, Western Australian government to prepare their bids. What's the likelihood of the biggest day in football being held at the best sporting ground in the world this year?
We're still a long way out, but they need a lot of time to prepare. I would say it's 50-50 at the moment.
They are going to be desperate, desperate like you wouldn't believe to have it here and not have it leave the state again. So
that's
they'll
right.
be putting all sorts of protocols in place, all sort of systems in place. If it means we can only get 60,000 people into the MCG for the grand final because of spacing and different situations, different lines going in the ground, different queues, no food, no nothing, just purely walk in, sit your seat, watch the game and whoosh, out.
I think the 60,000 thing is the interesting part. I think there would be a cutoff where they say, no, we're not putting it on as the grand event of the year if we can only get 50,000.
Well, 60 is what Perth could provide.
That's right.
So it'd have to be at least 60.
They are desperate. They are desperate. Everybody is desperate for the grand final to be at the MCG this year. Mm-hmm. The other thing that Cocker's suggested too, and it's only suggesting, and that is that you may need to have a vaccination passport. Do you support this or not? We got into trouble the other morning when we even suggested it and talked about it. We weren't recommending it in any way. And I'm not doing that now. I'm just asking for your point of view. If the only way that you could get to the MCG to watch the grand final this year was that you had to produce a vaccination passport, do you think that that would make a difference?
I think this year is going to be too quick for something like that, be too soon for something like that. But I wouldn't count it out down the track. Given the access to the vaccines.
What about the idea then that's been floated? I think Jared Waitley might have done this with you on your program 360 the other night.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of going into a WA hub.
Yeah, Jared did float that as one of the ideas, that all teams could end up over there for 4 weeks and preparing. Well, yeah, I don't be ringing around all the people I need to ring around to understand that. I'm just supportive of the AFL trying to get the game on. If it means we've got to go to Perth, so be it. If it means we're here in Victoria, families, I see the girls from the Giants and the Swans are going up into a hard lockdown now in Brisbane for 14 days so they can get back with their guys. So that's pretty important, I would have thought. So whatever works, whatever works.
That can only work, though, if the families can go as well.
Yeah.
Like it.
Well, if they do the hard lockdown and now with the players, wherever they may be, well, they should be able to travel like the players.
Yeah. Chris Scott, I think we've got the audio here of him yesterday talking about this. I don't want the audio talking about Richmond taking on or Geelong taking on Richmond without Dustin Martin. He talked about the fact that the AFL needed to explain the ethical framework behind their decision.
Righto, let's have a listen.
The question should be directed at them and they should explain their ethical framework for those situations. The AFL makes the decision. We get very, very, very little say, if any.
Do they need to? Do they need to come forward? And I would have thought somewhere, though. You can't tell me that somewhere along the line when Geelong were negotiating with the AFL, they didn't explain the reasons why the game couldn't be GMHBA Stadium. Come on, Gary.
Chris,
I'm not buying
Scott that. Says he wants the AFL to explain its ethical framework, having been denied that home game.
What does that actually mean, the ethical framework?
Well, if in fact you're talking about integrity and who has a right to play on a home ground.
We're talking about COVID-19. When integrity goes out the window.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But the reason they lose that home game as a rule is to provide people with more opportunity to go and watch. That's off the table now. So therefore the circumstances are changing.
Yeah, but that's the ethical what is. There's nothing ethical about anything now. There's no fairness in the system. Now, Essendon are playing a home game against GWS this Sunday at 6 o'clock up there in Queensland.
But we know the circumstances surrounding
exactly.
That.
But so
something is precluding them from coming back because they want to have them up there to play teams down the track. There's nothing that's stopping Richmond driving to Geelong to play at GMHBA Stadium.
At some point, there must have been an explanation given to Geelong as to why the game is not going to be played.
As I understand, it's the commercial obligations
to the MCG.
And
that's
the
right,
signage.
And their signage. Yeah. Well, is that not the ethical? Isn't the commercial part of the game the ethical part of the game?
But the commercial obligations have been ignored for good reason for the best part of a year.
Mm.
Why are they being? Why is it so damn important now?
I don't know. I don't know, but I don't think they're going to get an explanation, by the way. Why? Can I just go to a – have you got another question around that? Okay.
Oh, no, not around that. No.
Okay, around selection. Why have the Dogs gone so big against Melbourne?
Interesting, isn't it? So Josh Shackey comes into the side. So Shackey,
and they're in. They're in. They're actually in the side.
Yeah, they're in. Yeah, that's right. Yep. So Shackey is in. Now you've got Bruce, you've got Norton, you've got Shackey, you've got Jamara Ugo-Hagan, and you've got Tim English.
Mm. And you've got Hannan came in as well. Who's
Mitch Hannan's a forward.
But he's not a small – he doesn't play like a small forward.
Libba has come in.
Yeah, that's okay in the midfield.
Harms has come in for Libba. Does Harms go to Libba? That was the big move, remember, last time?
Yes, and did a good job.
Would you do that again if you were Melbourne?
Yeah, worked last time.
Yeah, I don't – so do you see that as experimental? Would you say that's experimental on behalf of Lukey Beveridge and the Western Bulldogs to say, okay,
maybe there's an injury?
We don't know if this is going to be our best look, but we're prepared to just have a look at it against the top of the table Demons.
Well, maybe they're doing the opposite to what happened against Melbourne last week, and rather than going small, they're going to go tall.
Well,
they're going to get them in the air.
This is where it's interesting, right? So the area that Melbourne haven't had an issue with is balls in the air. Right, going into their back line, into the opposition forward line, because they've got good aerial power. Now, I know Aaron Norton's a whole different proposition, but the problem they had is when the ball got the ground.
Yes.
And against the three losses that they've had, it's been ground ball stuff, it's been small forwards, and it's been pressure in Melbourne's back half, which has been against Hawthorn and against Adelaide, which was, I think, 50-plus points turnovers in their back half. Now, do you get that sort of pressure with Josh Shackey and Jamara and Aaron and Josh?
Mm-mm. I can answer that question for you, what I think anyway, and you don't. You don't actually get that pressure.
Mm.
You're not going to get that pressure from those three players in particular. I mean, Shackey's not a renowned pressure player. Jamara Ugo-Hagan, on what we've seen so far, he's not that
just
type of player.
His feet.
And I don't know where the Hannan is either. I don't know. You might know a bit more about him than I. Is he that type of player?
Yeah, he works.
What a competitive beast like that?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So out of their side goes Scott, Crozier, Dunkley, McNeil. And it hasn't really been like type players that have come into that side. So it will be a fascinating.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some injuries there somewhere. Maybe there's going to be some laid outs, whatever it is.
Or maybe they just want to have a different look,
maybe.
Given that they'll probably play each other again in September. So I think that makes a really interesting game. Some of the other really interesting selections, or the biggest selection news, Cripps comes in, Cunnington's back, Jared Berry's back, Duday's back.
Anderson's back too for North Melbourne. We haven't seen much of him this year.
Yeah, him and Cunnington both chose not to go up last week. This is interesting. Amati is out, the Amati party, who's been playing second ruck and doing a fantastic job, I reckon. And Logan McDonald's back in.
Yes, and McLean too.
That doesn't say injured to Amati, so.
No, maybe they just don't think that he's doing it. Reed's come back in too, though. So you look at the players that they won't line up like that because they're still to settle their 22. But McLean, big. McDonald, big.
Might be
Reed, big.
It might be a Sean Darcy inspired. Change, although I don't reckon the Swans have changed that much, just for Shawny Darcy, who's in rare nick, but maybe they feel they need a bit more support in the ruck.
But if it's one out, one in, it's only going to be either McLean or Reed, probably, because Samardi's been doing the backup rucking.
They're just squads, are they?
Yeah. Okay. So if McDonald comes in, he's not going to do the backup rucking.
No.
It's more likely that it'll be McLean, and Reed has been able to do that in the past for them as well.
Harms the Batura in, as we said, Henderson and Rowan in for the Cats against the Tigers on Sunday. That's big at the MCG. Dylan Scheel in.
Yes, that's a bit of a surprise. That is a bit of a surprise. Oh, yeah, I'm happy for him to be back because he is going to be in the best 22 for the Bombers. And the big, big surprise up there, though, is that Alex Rance is going to make his debut for Essendon at the weekend. What can you tell us about that? Because you actually led the charge about 18 months ago with this story.
I had someone give me good information that Essendon were very interested in at least trying to twist Alex Rance's arm 18 months ago or 2 years ago to come back and play. It didn't eventuate. But now it looks, JZ Clark's reporting that because the Bombers VFL team, but there's no VFL footy on, is there? Who's he expected to play against?
I'm not sure. But he has had, apparently, a good and close relationship with Ben Rutten in the time that Ben Rutten was at Richmond.
That's what it's reporting. So It's just
he's 31 years of age, okay?
It's
just hypothetically. 31 years of
Timmy.
Age, he's been out of the game for a couple of
years.
I
might be right still.
You could still be right.
Lee's on the road. G'day, Lee.
Yeah, good morning, boys. Great show as usual.
Thank you.
Just really quick, Tim. The Dogs have actually done what Hawthorn did last week. If you looked at the lineup, Hawthorn played Jekka, Kaczynski, and Mitch Lewis forward, all 195 plus. And down back, they went with DGB, Hannington, and Frosty, all 195 plus. And the one thing that was really evident was the Hawthorn boys, once out of position, never tried to mark. All they were instructed to do was bring the ball to ground. And there's no doubt the smaller blokes at both ends of the ground actually created havoc for Melbourne. So when I saw the Dogs lineup last night, I was very curious.
Mm, okay, so they're going to stay at home. Hawthorn Ford stayed at home last week, yes?
Yeah, Lee's point is really well made. But
it was. Well done, Lee.
I think the query is, though, Lee, you can do that with three. When you got four, then you start to worry about sort of pressure in your forward half and ability to put heat on. So that is the only curiosity. The three is absolutely fine for the reasons that Lee says and everyone else. Of course, you've got to be competitive in the air against Lee Lever and Petty. But it's the forward pressure that caused the turnovers that got the 50-odd points that those two teams got.
Yeah, probably a critical time in Shacky's career too. I don't know if it's one last look, but he actually now has to start to nail a team. You know, in the time that he's been there, you know, Norton's come on as a forward. They recruited Bruce there. Now we've got Jamari Ugelhagen as well. So he has to really start to stand up and show something.
I'm going to do a bit more homework on this Alex Ranson, who they're playing. If they're playing Southport on the Gold Coast, Essendon, is he able to get up there or is he already up there?
No, he's already here.
Oh, he's already there.
Yes,
Thank you very much. There you go. Well, that makes sense. Let's take a break. Maxi, hold on the line, mate. We'll get to you in a moment. The 7-seat Kia Sorento has just been crowned Drive Car of the Year.
I want to ask you about Mark Murphy too when we come back. A big question about Mark Murphy.
A big one.
A huge question about Mark Murphy.
The country is back racing strong. Book now at country.racing.com. Kogan credit cards, no annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
One of the great swims of all time, Kieran Perkins, to get the time. This is all about courage.
You are seeing the best of the best. You are a superstar, Kieran Perkins.
Save of the moment, Australia.
And look at Kowalski coming for the silver. Go,
Kowalski.
Daniel.
Coming after Smith, we'll bring Perkins in, about 15 metres to swim. This is rare gold.
Go,
the
Daniel.
Best kind of gold. Perkins goes in first. What a great win.
Duncan, don't jump over Dennis when he's about to put the soundbite down. That was a great moment.
Great call.
It was a great call.
That was a great call.
A lot of thoughts
what a
on
great
the,
talent
the Western Bulldogs tools. One of them will go back. Josh Shackey's been playing back, so maybe they'll try him back. Fletch reckons Leather might actually have to play on someone. Have I thought about that? Gary will reduce his intercept. We're going to see how great this Melbourne back line really is after they've been pumped up. That is true, Fletch. They have managed to beat the five or six top teams. So it sort of seems... How many times have we heard that? Every time they played one of those top teams. Righto, we'll find out how good they are.
And?
They win.
Yep, they do. Hey,
righto,
Max.
We'll find out how good they are.
Hey, can I just mention this quickly too? The Dick Reynolds Club luncheon has been cancelled. Yes,
big lunch.
It was going to be a massive lunch there on August 4th, the ROCV
Who's
Club.
Hosting?
Obviously, because of COVID-19, it has to have been cancelled. So there will be communication coming your way if you've already paid and that type of thing. The club will be in touch with you, and hopefully it will be rescheduled at some stage.
Who was hosting?
It was going to be an absolute beauty. Absolutely.
I don't know.
Old mate Wispy.
Yes.
Max is in Williams Landing. Good morning, Max.
Good morning, boys. I just wanted to find out about a couple of players, Lipinski, Patrick Lipinski, Mitch Wallace, and Tom Mitchell. Now, I'm a casting member, and I wanted to know whether it was worth having for them to have a look at Lipinski, Wallace, and Tom Mitchell.
Well, Tom Mitchell, I think they're all having a look at Tom. Do you keep hearing Tom Mitchell might still be on the move at the end of this year?
I haven't heard that, no. But okay. I haven't really been asking around.
Yeah, no, I heard And I think there was a story might have been written at one stage that Carlton were very, very interested
he'd
in.
He'd fit in perfectly at Carlton.
Yep. I'm sure people will look at Wallace, and I'm sure people will look at Lipinski as well.
Mm.
Lipinski's an interesting player because he hasn't been able to nail a regular spot for the Bulldogs.
So do you think there'll be buyers for him?
I think so, because of the athleticism that he has. There's a lot of – I think the gaps in his game – and the reasons why he's not playing at the Bulldogs will be the same reasons that probably just cause others to hit the pause button, and he will need to improve in all those areas. But I think everybody will have a look at him, yeah.
Hugo Hagen was six in the draft, combine, 20-metre sprint. Hugo Hagen, not quick. Gary, do your homework. J-Dog, clean your ears out. I didn't say he wasn't quick. I'm talking about forward pressure.
Yeah. Got nothing to do with speed. Got nothing to do with speed, Joey.
You can be Usain Bolt if you haven't got. And this is not judging him. He's in his infancy. He will, or hopefully, will become a good forward pressure player. But right now, don't think it's absolutely at the top of his priorities. But he'll get there.
There you go. Can confirm that Shaki will be playing across half back. Cheers.
Okay.
There you go. There's an insight for you.
Good info out there. He might be able to play on Ben Brown, maybe.
Maybe Ben Brown
plays high.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, no, he does. Yeah. They've had a look at him at VFL level, so maybe that is a possibility too.
It's a good idea if indeed that is what is going to happen. And our audience has great intel, then that's great. That's fantastic, because it's an area where everyone has been there saying they're susceptible, but the numbers don't back that up. Their back line's been really good, but a 6'6" backman's always going to be of some value. So let's find out if Josh Shaki, maybe that's their thinking. And that starts to make good sense to me, if that is in fact what happens.
We have talked about this before, but it's getting closer to the end of the season. Carlton can still make the finals, of course, 5 rounds to go. But Mark Murphy.
Oh, yes.
The 300 game. Are you of the view that Carlton should try and get him to 300 games?
So what's he on right now?
I'm not sure exactly. He's very close. I think is he 2 or 3 games short of 300?
I thought it was a bit more than that. I thought he might, the fact that they haven't picked him this week.
Our Carlton man will tell you, because he's onto this.
He's on 296 games.
There you go, 4 games.
So there's 4 games left.
And there's 5 games in the regular season left.
He's not playing this week.
And he's not playing this week.
So he has to play every game.
After this weekend, yeah.
Good question. Do you play him every game? If they're still in contention, right, if they win today, on the weekend, so there's still, you know, this outside hope. Do you play Mark Murphy to get him to 300?
You know what? I love the emotion and the traditional, that sort of stuff. But if he's not in their best team and they're still alive and they're still, you know, struggling to make up the bottom positions in the 8, no, you don't.
Medisub, maybe.
Maybe.
Limp him to the line.
If he's, you know, if he,
would that detract from the 300?
No, it wouldn't. Overall, it wouldn't, because you're going to look at the number overall. But you would think that he sat down at the beginning of the year with David Teague and had a conversation around this, though, too, because it was always going to be a discussion at some stage.
The calf injury made it, you know.
Yeah, and his form wasn't that great either.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. He'd been dropped. And
yes.
He'd been a midi sub. And then the calf comes along at the wrong time. You're still alive, albeit, you know, it's a slim one. There's 4 games to go.
Is it just a number after all? Do we get too bogged down thinking about these milestone games?
I think 300's more than just a number. I think 300's pretty damn special, don't you? But yeah. not enough to throw your whole team structure.
But you play
out.
This is the thing, though. Like, when you really analyse this, you're talking about playing a team game, aren't you?
Yeah.
We all understand that. When we come into this game, it is not about self. It is always about team, and team has to be put above self.
Mm.
And it's hard maybe to look at it that way sometimes. And it wouldn't be so much about – I don't think it would be so much about him playing the 300 games. It would be all the other things that you wrestle with when you get into the twilight of your career, and that is that your career might be over, as much as whether you get to the 300 games or you don't get to the 300 games.
I agree with you. I think you play it on merit. I think you play
you
it
have
on
to.
Merit.
I think you have to.
At this stage and where they're at. So if he ends up on 200, it would be – I'm not heartless. If he ended on 298 or 299, that'd be buddy heart for him. But he would – I reckon if he was in the studio sitting here right now, he would agree and say, no, I've got to earn my spot.
But, you know, I don't know. When you look back on your career, I don't know how many games you played. It was 200 and how many?
My 226.
Yeah. But does it worry you that you didn't get to 250? Or
no, I never worried about the
games. Do you look back and think about how many games you played, or do you look back at your career and think about what it was that you achieved outside the number of games you played?
No, 100% never worried about how many games I played. But if I got to 296, then I'd be thinking, you'd have to be thinking about 300. You got there.
Yeah, but it wasn't a carrot for me to play on.
No, it's not the only. It's not the only carrot. But once you get within, the eye line of the finishing line,
I don't think about the games. I always think about the success that we had as a team. You know, the years that we won premierships, and the time you spent with people and all that type of thing. But I never think about the actual number of games I played.
Mm. I know we've played the best forward. I probably won. Probably Levi, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to steal his gag, but Robbie Tarrant, usually, I think in the past, I've played on Robbie, and I would say he's the number one defender at North. So maybe I'll pencil in a matchup with Robbie.
That's the two boys. This is why we love both of them, and we love the fact that they're going to play on each other, that they've both got good sense of humour, nice bit of swagger, and that's a bit of back and forward between the two of them on our station. So leave those two boys alone to prepare for what's going to be a big weekend. It can't be any bigger than it is for Mum and Dad. I know you've experienced this with Obi-Wan Kenobi as a father, you and Susie watching one son play. Can you imagine what it'd be like watching twins running around with?
Can't. I can't imagine what it would be like.
Well, let's go to the Mum and Dad, Peter and Tracy McIvan. Good enough to join us from down in Warrigal. G'day and good morning to you both.
Morning, gents.
Morning.
This is great. We love the fact that you've been good enough to join us. How are you going to be when these two boys, let's just say, Tracy, that you're watching the game, I guess you won't be able to be there, so you have to watch it on telly, and all of a sudden there's Harry takes up the position in the goal square and chucks his chest out and flexes his muscle, and then Ben comes running down, and then you go, what now? What? Can you talk us through what you think will happen?
Well, I've already told them, Gary, that they're not allowed to punch each other. Umpire will be watching, and there is a tribunal if they go too far. So they've got to behave. They've got to be tough competitors, but fair with each other. And I'll be a nervous wreck, I'm sure.
So have you, Peter and Tracy, have you tossed a coin and decided, okay, I'm going to barrack for Harry today and you barrack for Ben? How's it work?
No, very much Switzerland, Tim. Yeah. neutral. So I was just thinking that Mr. and Mrs. King have got it relatively easy, in that Max can kick four and Ben can kick four, and they've both had a good day and contributed to their teams. But when Ben's job is to keep Harry to no touches, no score, it's a bit hard to come out with an equal.
Well,
they both
started off as forwards, though, didn't they? So maybe, did you try maybe giving David Noble a call and saying, listen, can you switch him to the other end of the ground so we don't have to go through this for a couple of hours?
Yeah, look, that would be nice. And I'm a bit flat that Robbie Tarrant is out as well, Tim, because I thought Robbie might go and wrestle with Harry for a little while before Ben was introduced. But now with Robbie not there, there's no place to hide for the two of them.
No, there's no middle ground. This matchup is on. Tracy, tell me, yesterday I haven't got twins, obviously. I've got twin nieces. I've watched them grow up. I sort of posed the question, is there a dominant twin between the two of them? Could you answer that for us?
They're actually mirror image twins. So they're, left hand, right hand, and they're kind of the opposite to each other. So they complement each other is the nice way to put it. So rather than one being more dominant, I guess, Harry's probably a bit more outgoing. Ben's a bit more reserved. But I don't know, Pete, are they?
Well, because Ben's about 35 seconds older, Gary, he seems to be the more paternal of the two, a bit more protective of his brother, the senior member of the twinship. And Harry's a bit like Prince Harry. He's a bit more footloose and fancy.
That's a good way to put it.
Well, I believe that you dressed them identically when they were kids. So is there a chance that they'll both step out in Carlton jumpers or both step out in North Melbourne jumpers this weekend?
Well, they both used to wear Essendon jumpers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did. We were all big Essendon fans back in the day. You were one of my favourite players, actually, when I was a kid.
Oh, Trace.
Oh, must have a good memory.
You didn't have the 32 on the duffel coat, did you, Trace?
No, not quite that not quite.
Couldn't afford a double.
What about, so they've played all their footy together, clearly, you know, right from early on, or all their sport together. I mean, what was the earliest memories of them playing together as a duo?
We were lucky enough to have a few acres out on the property in Longwarrie when the first kids first grew up, and we had a paddock out the front, and Pete put goalposts out there, so there wasn't a day that they weren't out there with the football, fighting each other as much as kicking the ball, I guess.
We spent many an hour, over many a weekend, over many a year, standing at one end kicking the ball to both the boys, and they showed signs early on. They had very good hand-eye coordination, and I used to come in and say to Tracy, my goodness, those blokes have got some skill for their age, and they carried that on into their junior football. They were midfielders that just run and carried the ball, and like a lot of twins, they just knew where each other were, and they'd always kick the ball out and find one on each other and share the ball. But a lot of skill early on, and not sure that we'd be sitting here talking to you blokes if they only grew to be 6'2", to be honest with you, but at 2 metres tall, they're...
Oh, I think they might have put. They got some things going for them. Hey, when you're having that kick out the front, was Harry kicking around the corner, or was he kicking drop punts?
Well, I must apologise to Carlton supporters, Gary, in that I'm not the handiest on the tools, and I might not have measured the distance between the posts or the depth, so it may well have been impossible to kick a straight goal from the front paddock in Longwarrie, and thus perhaps kicking around the corner was a necessity.
Do you hear a lot from the two boys? Is one more in touch with you and more communicative than the other?
No, they're both really good, actually. Yeah, we've got a family WhatsApp that keeps us all entertained if we can't see each other. But, yeah, no, the boys are relatively regular in contact before or after a game. I guess they generally touch base with you, Pete.
And how close? Yeah. How close are they, the twins? We hear all different stories about twins and how close they are growing up and that type of thing. Are they really close, the two?
I keep telling them, Tim, that they'll be best mates one day. I'm starting to lose a little bit of hope. Early on, they were very close. Going to school, going to kinder, going to parties, they always were each other's shadows, and then about the age of 10, they started sledging each other in cricket parlance. And from then on, it was like, I felt like an umpire, a referee. From the time they got out of bed to the time they went to bed at night, it was, no, mate, you've got him high there, going for the milk at the fridge at 2 minute morning out. You go, no, Harry, you've caught in possession of Ben's bag, put it down in the corner. It was just full on niggling, as most siblings would do. But you say they sound like fun, boys. You try living with them for 10 years.
Well, I was going to ask Tracy, what about feeding them? Were they good on the fang?
The food bill was enormous. They were never full, always an empty, always wanting more.
They're only two of four children, our lovely daughter Hannah and our youngest son Charlie. Well, Hannah became a vegetarian about the age of 6 because...
No point trying to get me.
Just had gone off the plate.
It's a couple of bones left by the time she got there.
young Charlie was emancipated.
We didn't realise how big Charlie could grow until they left.
Hey, the picture you're painting of them, though, because everybody's sort of been speculating about, you know, how competitive might they be in this matchup. What you're actually saying to us this morning, though, it's going to be on for young and old when these two match up against each other this weekend.
I think they'll do the right thing by each of their teams and concentrate on the game.
I don't want to paint the wrong picture, Tim, but they are gentle giants to a large extent.
But super competitive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, their eyes glaze over when it comes to competing against each other, unfortunately.
For sure, yeah.
Lauren Jackson will be watching the opening ceremony. I'm absolutely certain of that. She's an ambassador for Rebel Sport, Australia's preferred retailer, biggest sports brands at best prices. She's also carried the flag into the London opening ceremony in 2012. I think she'd have some great memories of tonight. She joins us on the line. Good morning, Lauren.
Hey, how you going?
We're going well. What will you be doing tonight? Sitting down and thinking back to that 2012 Olympics?
Absolutely. I'll be sitting with my kids, trying to sort of explain to them what it means, to be an Olympian and this special moment. I think, they're sort of getting to the age where my 4-year-old is, where he's sort of starting to understand sport a little bit and So I think just the platform of the Olympics is going to be really, you know, important for him as he sort of grows up, as it was for me as a kid. So,
hey, yeah. Lauren, good morning to you. You played basketball everywhere at the highest level and then the Olympic experience. What is different? Can you encapsulate in words what's different about the Olympic experience and those games as opposed to the other basketball that you played at such a high level around the world?
Oh, look, the Olympics is just so unique in the sense that you're sort of in this, you know, bubble, for lack of a better term, but with all the other best athletes from all around the world. So you're walking around the village, you know, going into dining hall, eating food with them. You know, you could just be walking down the street and run into Serena Williams or, like, you know, Team USA or, you know, just really incredible people. Federer, you know, in the, that's some of my great memories were being in dining hall, just meeting these people, which was really cool.
Is there a different feeling to you as an athlete when you're representing your country and not one of the other teams that you played for? Is that something that weighs heavily on you as an athlete playing basketball at the Olympics?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I think, you know, for us in particular, the Olympics was really the only time that the public in Australia really got behind women's basketball and really supported us. So I felt, you know, wearing the green and gold, I always felt just so privileged and so honoured. And I think too, because my parents both represented Australia and I knew how important that was to them that, you know, I was dressing up in their Australian uniforms, telling people I was going to be an Opal when I was, you know, when I was 2, 3. And so it was my dream. So yeah, it did weigh very heavily on me and I felt very proud.
What about carrying that flag into the, I mean, this is going to be a bit different given the circumstances and the lack of crowd and all that. London was just unbelievable. What, Kate Campbell, are you going to give us some advice on whether she should maybe hand it over to Paddy if it gets a bit heavy? She's got to swim pretty soon.
No, she'll be fine. She's great. Look, I did reach out to her and congratulate her. She's just such a remarkable human being, so kind. And Paddy, of course, you know, we all love him for what for who he is. He's just such a great human. So it'll be fun to watch them just representing Australia and leading that team.
And the girls, the Opals, we've got great hopes for them, of course. And they've had some drama with the whole Liz Cambage situation. How hard is that going to make it?
Well, you know, they just beat Team USA over in America, as did the Boomers. And I guess, you know, losing someone like Lizzie is obviously, you know, a massive blow to the team. But they're playing a different style of basketball without her. They're playing a really run-and-gun style of basketball. They're playing super aggressive defense and being able to get up and really push teams, which it's sort of harder to do with a big post inside. So it's going to be really exciting to watch them, and I think that they're going to do really well.
Hey, Lauren, just, you know, I've been reading a lot about, you know, the men's, been watching them and their team and that type of thing, and they talk about how different the basketball is at the Olympics compared to, say, the NBA. Is it the same with the Opals and what they experience when they play elsewhere and the Americans might play the way that they do in their domestic competition to what they have to play when they go to the Olympics too?
Yeah, it is really different. In the Olympics, especially in World Cups and things like that, you've got referees from all around the world who referee their own style of basketball. So FIBA basketball tends to be, and Olympic basketball tends to be very physical and a little bit inconsistent in the way that it's called. So it does make it a little bit harder, you know, as an athlete to, I guess, guess the styles of play each game. But it is super physical, and that's the difference right there is that, and I think the Team USA saw that against the Opals last Saturday. They definitely felt that physicality and just that different style of basketball for sure.
Was there anything that we could have done to make sure that Liz Cambage was still part of the Opals team and the Olympic campaign?
As an employee of BA, I really can't, like, speak on that. Sorry. Okay. There's an investigation going on at the moment. And I guess until that's sort of concluded, there's no real comment from us.
Can we cover her loss effectively, do you think?
Look, like I said the other just previously, I think that there's definitely the possibility that they are going to medal and play really well, like the medal, but gold medal. And that's because they're playing a different style of basketball. And also, too, they're playing together. They're really connected. They're all trying to achieve the same goal. And I think that they definitely can pull out the gold, and that was evident last game that they played against Team USA.
And Boomers as well, Lauren?
Yes, definitely. I think this is their greatest shot that they've got, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them play. They've talked so much about culture in the last few weeks and what they want to achieve, and I feel very confident. We've seen them come very close in the last few years, and I think that they're going to get there.